You're listening to the Changing the World Summit, where inspiring leaders from around the world share their secrets on having more impact in these times of change, and where you can participate in our project to remove over 1 million plastic bottles from the environment while providing impoverished entrepreneurs with an opportunity to thrive. I'm your host, Julia Steggy, with the pleasure of interviewing changemakers willing to share their secrets for having more impact. Listen to the entire interview series and make your donations to our plastics removal program at www.changingtheworldsummit.com.
Welcome to Changing the World Summit. I'm your host, Julia Steggy, and today I'm happy to have Beth Davis with us as our changemaker of the day. Beth Davis is known as the Palm Pilot for the Soul of Your Business and the Intuitive Business Catalyst. Beth is the secret sage to global leaders, including spiritual teachers, healers, artists, celebrities, scientists, and entrepreneurs. Using her intuition, extensive shamanic experience, 20 years in business, and expertise in scientific hand analysis, and human design, she helps you unleash your life purpose so you can get paid for your passions and be, as Gandhi said, the change you wish to see in the world. Beth is a supporter of the Unstoppable Foundation and the Pachamama Alliance and is committed to bringing the consciousness of life purpose to creative entrepreneurs globally. As featured in Women's World, Cosmopolitan, and the LA Times, as well as heard on NPR, KPFK Los Angeles, Radio Europe, and the BBC, 5, Beth is devoted to helping you unleash your life purpose and uncover the number one thing that has been holding you back from achieving it. You can find more at https://baeth.com. And catch her podcast, The Rant, at beth.com/Apple Podcasts. And we'll make sure to include those links on the page. So, Beth, thanks so much for joining us in the Changing the World Summit. I'm really, really happy to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, when we're talking about, you know, changing the world and doing things in a different way, you came to mind. Because you have such an out-of-the-box approach to helping people, as we just heard. And so why don't we dive right in, and why don't you talk a bit about what is your current world-changing activity?
Well, from a business standpoint, it hasn't shifted really since I started my business, which is to bring the consciousness of purpose to the world and to assist people in understanding that they do indeed have a specific biologically mandated purpose, and it's easy to figure it out once you know where to look. From a give back perspective, my passion is education. In my business, I'm educating people about who they really are versus who they think they are, because people tend to think they're one way, but often they're just not that way, truly, at their root. And education for children, starting at the preschool age, such that they can, in essence, shed the conditioning that limits so many of us when we reach adulthood. I mean, many people spend most of their adulthood trying to undo their childhood. And education, good education, that's rooted in self-understanding and self-truth, to me is the greatest experience anyone could ever have, because it sets you up for a life that is fulfilling and meaningful and, most of all, aligned with your soul. And I differentiate the soul from the activity of the mind. The soul is that eternal, still knowing part of us that watches. It's very aware. And the mind is what runs and contradicts itself and judges and creates drama, etc.
That's interesting that, you were talking about that our purpose is biologically determined, and that's why it can it can show in our hands. Would you just tell our listeners a bit about what hand analysis is? It's not really like going to a palm reader.
No, no, it isn't. There was a time I would go down to Venice Beach and receive a palm reading, and they were predictive, but they were also cold readings. And anyone that understands cold reading, there's a way of talking with another person where you can say enough generalities that it makes it sound like they understand you. The system that I learned was downloaded by a man named Richard Unger in 1987, which, by the way, was the same year that Human Design was downloaded. And it was a very unique window in early 1987 when Halley's Comet was moving over South America. And at that time, the comet showered the Earth with about three times the normal data that typically moves through. We're living in a soup of neutrinos, which are these subatomic particles that were only recently discovered. In fact, just about a month ago, a scientist determined where one came from, some black hole far, far away. So scientists are actually getting to the point where they're tracking where these, you know, billions of particles are coming from. These particles actually carry bits of data. They're like little mini computer chips traveling through the entire cosmos carrying data, which is why there's the 100th monkey effect, why there's such an interconnectivity of everything. At any rate, around 1987, these two incredible systems were downloaded that are about differentiation or the awakening of the self. And all meditation practices, all deep spiritual teachings, as well as these systems, all lead to the same exact place, which is consciousness. That is actually the reward, is to be aware. It isn't more money. It isn't being famous. It isn't being skinny. You know, that's all ego stuff. I mean, those things are fine, but they're not going to make you happy. they all lead back to the soul. I was in a crisis, and I now help people who are in crisis around my career, and I was in such a funk that a friend said, you ought to get your hands read. And I put her off and put her off, and I finally submitted. This is back in 97. And I finally relented, and I had a scientific hand analysis session. Julia, that experience blew my mind. Like, you know, in your life, you could ask someone, hey, what are the three pivotal moments in your life? And most people can name them. Oh, it was the birth of my child. You know, before that is when I got married or when I got divorced. Like, there's these pivotal moments. I recovered from a life-altering illness, that kind of thing. And this was one of those moments that completely opened my third eye, like just boom, opened it to this whole other world of potentiality and possibility. And I was so gobsmacked by the experience. I thought, I have to learn this. I have to learn this and teach it to people. So it took me about 3 years to learn the system. And I'm still taking classes. I mean, it's one of those endless areas of study, the hands. It just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. The earliest paintings were cave paintings of hands, just to give you an idea. The earliest cuneiform tablet was a write-up on how to apply lipstick and how to read hands. So the hands are an ancient, ancient symbol of life. And the system that I learned is not to predict the future. It's more... it has two things. It has a personality profile and a soul profile, as does Human Design. Human Design has your design, which is your soul crystal, and then the personality crystal is your regular astrology chart, basically. So all these ancient systems have been updated as of 1987, and they deal with both the personality and the soul. And the soul carries the purpose. The soul carries the life purpose. The personality is the variety, right? So our personalities are wonderful things. You know, personality makes for great comedians and painters and artists and coaches like yourself. I mean, we have to have these different personalities. It makes life really interesting. It would be very if we were all just soul, we would probably need bodies. So anyway, I learned this system. And I immediately started rearranging my life to support reading other people's hands. And then within about 3 years, I started doing coaching, because just giving someone a reading meant they were probably going to forget the information. I mean, if that's even possible, but you'd be surprised. People forget their life purpose. So I tell my clients now, so help me memorize your purpose. When I ask you what your purpose is, I do not want to hear, I don't remember, because that's really lame. So I got guilt trip them into remembering it. So that's been just the most remarkable thing, because I was in a career crisis. I learned my life purpose from my hands. And now my clients are men and women, mostly mid-40s and older, who are in an acute spiritual career crisis, or spiritual crisis of career, I call it, because a spiritual career crisis might sound like they're in a spiritual career, and a lot of the people I work with don't even consider themselves spiritual. They're like, what does spiritual mean? You know, they're like, I go to church. Is that spiritual? So, you know, yeah, spiritual crisis of career, and it's very acute, and fortunately it's temporary. So people come to me when they're in that crisis, and I get them over the gap, and then, you know, they're on their way, and they conveniently forget about me till they hit another snag. But that's really how it all came about for me. And, yeah, it's just a remarkable, remarkable thing. I feel so privileged that life guided me to it. In fact, it was my friend Pammy who kept bugging me, and I kept blowing her off. So I tell my clients now, if things keep coming into your auric field again and again and again, good, bad, or ugly, pay attention, right? So if you keep having the same awful boyfriend, that's a message. If you keep getting the same wonderful tip for your business from like six different people, and which has been happening to me lately, like people will call me out of the blue and say, hey, I have to share this information with you. And then the next day, you know, a friend of 10 years will call and say, the same exact thing. And I'm like, okay, all right, universe, I get it. So I've learned to really pay attention since Pammy back in 97 to these signals, because when we do, we get to go on this really unusual journey, right? Like, I was going to be a stockbroker out of college, and then I hated business classes. They were so boring. So then I switched my major to art and acting specifically, and then I came to L.A. to be an actor, and I was like, nah. And then I became a coach, and I was still thinking, oh, this isn't right. And then I found hand analysis, so I did it part-time for about 2 years. You know, I had another job, and then I was able, my mission was to get self-sustaining so I could switch full-time to hands. And I was able to do that in about 2 years. And here we are today, over 21 years later.
Yeah.
So it's pretty remarkable. Yeah.
So how do you think that understanding your hands can change the world?
Oh, that's such a great question. I feel the only thing... Well, first of all, let me back up. I don't think the world needs changing. There's nothing wrong with the world. Mother Earth's just fine. It's humans. It's humans that don't know who they are that are very destructive. They're first destructive to themselves, and then by secondary means, they're destructive to the planet, because you can't destroy that which you love, right? So if you love yourself, you're not going to destroy the environment that feeds you. Most people hate themselves, and they think that what they want is outside of them, and they have to go conquer and kill it and trap it and possess it and own it and show other people up and compete and compare and blah, blah, blah. And so we're very conditioned to be warlike. It's not our essential nature, but we are trained to be warlike. Now, there's a need for that warrior energy, right? If someone's encroaching on your family, or they're coming uninvited, yes, you know, you've got to be able to defend yourself. So it's a natural part of us to be able to fight back. But to actually fight for no good reason the way we do now, that's the conditioning. So the world, to me, doesn't need changing. Individuals have the choice to awaken, to become aware. Now, what do I mean by awareness? Simply put, awareness is, I'm talking to you right now, and I'm watching myself talking to you. I'm listening to the words I'm saying to you, and I'm choosing my words carefully. It's a very conscious process I'm in with you right now. I'm not so absorbed in what I'm saying that I'm not noticing what I'm saying. So who's the noticer? That's the soul, right? The soul watches everything. The mind get so lost in things. You know when you've maybe left a department store and you're driving home and you're thinking about something and you don't know how you got home? Have you ever had that happen?
Yeah.
In your life? Yeah, right. We've all had that happen, right? Part of it
or
is
when you're
the
driving
automatic
down your own street and then you drive by your own house.
Yes, that I've done that too. So there's unconscious competence, which is the highest level of mastery, but there's a problem with it when we're not aware of this unconscious behavior. So awareness is I am aware I have a soul that has its own unique purpose, and the soul is watching. The soul is seeing. The soul takes in everything. And most people suffer and then become destructive to themselves and then secondarily the earth because they are so identified with their senses. They cannot separate their soul from their thoughts or their sense of taste or their environment. And an extreme version of this would be, you know, a homeless person who's mentally ill and on drugs talking to themselves. There's no self-awareness then. They're completely consumed in a bubble. And the more consumed you are in that, the more you're deemed, quote-unquote, crazy because there's no awareness, right? So to me, self-awareness is, that's it. It's the answer to everything. It solves all problems. It's the keys to the kingdom. It's the most delicious thing. So the work that I do is to begin opening the door to that awareness very specifically about the individual and who they are. The acorn grows into the oak tree, not a willow tree, right? The willow seedling is going to be a willow tree. So you've got to know what kind of tree you're growing into. Everybody isn't an oak tree or an aspen or a dogwood. Who you're meant to be is in your genetics. It's in your DNA. And the map of it shows up in your hands, and it also shows up in human design. It shows up in astrology. Science can now back astrology. It's completely a magnetic resonance of the moment you're born because everything in our universe has a magnetic pull. So there's maps of our own acorn, if you will, our own seed. Let me put our own seed. And when you know how to decode your design, your soul design, it's the first step to awareness. Now, I know a lot of people, they decode it and they don't do jack with it. And so they're stuck. They're still stuck. The individual who recognizes their unique flavor and then decides to get into action around that is a very, very fortunate human being. And that is what my work and my mission is about, is to awaken as many millions of people as I can. Now, at this point, I don't know, I probably reached hundreds of thousands, but I would really like to get to the point where, you know, it takes 20 million people exposed to a concept for it to go global. So my mission in the next 5 years is to reach at least 20 million people. Now, I might reach more, I might reach a little less. Depends on, you know, the things I'm cooking up. If I have my druthers, it will reach, you know, a billion people. That's my goal. And it's really not that difficult. We can talk about that separately, how to reach people and hit the tipping point once you're aligned with what you're here to do. So that's really what I want to do, Julia, to help, quote-unquote, change the world, right? I'm a big believer in what Gandhi said. You've got to be the change. Nothing is going to change externally unless you change you. So people are always looking to the outside and, you know, railing against things, railing against the president. It's pointless. It's completely pointless. Right. People do spend a lot of their time really angry and distracted. You just go on Facebook, you know, like all these people are just addicted to wasting their time so as to not have to look in the mirror and go, who's there? Hello? Hello. So I help people essentially say hello to their soul, and that's the first step in awakening, to have true awareness so you are not consumed by your thoughts and the sensations around you and all the bullshit and the conditioning bombarding you every second of the day.
So
did I answer the question?
Yes. And so I'm thinking about, you know, being coming from where you're like going to be an accountant or whatever. What did you say you were going to do? Or stockbroker or whatever.
Stockbroker.
To having this awakening experience to where you're going to go all in for hand analysis, which is a very out-of-the-box thing, because it's going to have a greater impact. What has you, like, actually do that rather than just thinking about it? When
such
it's
a good question.
Pretty big risk, you know? It's
yeah,
sort
it's
of
risky.
You have
it
your
is
reputation.
Risky.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have to deal with people's misunderstandings about what you do, so you have to kind of be all in for being the one that clarifies it for them and deals with all of that.
Yes, that's true. I love this. I love this question, and you know, I've thought about this question a lot because you're not the first person to ask it, and I've been asked this question a lot over the years, and there's a couple layers to it. So first of all, when I had that initial hand reading, it lit me up in a way I had never been lit up before because I was seen by another human being. I was seen. So one of the pathways to health is we need to be seen by others accurately. So I was seen accurately. I was excited about what I learned. And what I did in that moment, well, it was probably about a week later, but I had to sit with it. I'm best if I don't make decisions like on the spot. Some people can make decisions on the spot, but I'm not one of them. So about a week later, I thought to myself, wow, that's the best thing I've ever heard about myself. I'm just going to believe it as if it's true, because why not? Now, the second piece is a more global bit of information. Up until quite recently in human history, most of our fear was around the food supply. Well, now our fear is around money, because money has become the medium of exchange, right? Instead of having to exchange a barrel of eggs for a barrel of wheat, we have this wonderful medium of exchange, which is basically based on nothing. There's nothing even backing it now. It's just made up in a computer. A bank sure. loans you money. There's no money. They're not loaning you any money. And then you have the privilege of your own effort to pay back the bank that generated the money from thin air. So we're living in a like there's an illusion occurring even around money. Nevertheless, that's where most people project their fear. So if you listen to most people, it's almost always about money ad friggin' nauseum. Like, it's just, you'd sit in the airport, you'd listen on the plane, go to a cafe, just listen to people talk all over the world. All over the world, no matter what, you can be in Russia. I've traveled all over the world. I haven't been to Russia, but let's say India, Australia, wherever you go, you can hear people talking. They're talking about the same stupid crap. Oh, my God, I need to make more money. And it's like, no, you don't. You may need more money to, like, you know, buy something or, you know, put yourself through school. Yeah, that'd be nice if you had something conscious to do with the money. But more money isn't going to fix the problem. The problem is fear. So most of the human beings I encounter on some level have worried about money. I know I certainly have. I've certainly had to deal with that whole thing. We're so conditioned to project all our fear onto money, and we think, oh, I got to work and pay these bills. So the minute you're in, I've got to work and pay these bills, you're not observing yourself anymore. You're completely identified with a myth. It's like someone saying, like, oh, I'll never find a soulmate because I'm too powerful. Or, you know, I'll never find love because I'm too ugly. Like, whatever the belief is, right? And the beliefs are just nonsense. They're just utter made-up mental nonsense. So people project all their fear onto money, and they think they have to work to pay bills. And hence, they're in a trap, right? They're in a trap. Now, I knew in my late 20s I wasn't here to pay bills. Do I pay bills? Of course. But that's not why I incarnated. I didn't come to this amazing planet so I could, like, slave away at some crappy job and buy more shit I don't need. That's not why we're here. So there's a level of awareness that I've had since I was quite young where I never listened to the adults around me. I still don't listen to anyone, really. I hear people, but I don't really listen to them. I take in what I feel will work for me. So even when I was a young child and I was being threatened with hell, because I wouldn't obey the nuns, I thought to myself, I remember this, at 5 years old, looking up and going, this woman's truly crazy. And wow, these people really have lost their marbles. Like they're making up this story about this place of fire and brimstone to try and manipulate me to get me to do something that I don't want to do. And I'm not going to do it. So somehow at a very young age, I was just, I could not be frightened by nonsense. I had a good BS detector. So that was that for me, that's the journey. I decided my purpose was the best thing I'd ever heard. And then second, I decided to dig into the roots of fear. And after probably about 2-3 years and a whole bunch of panic attacks, like I was having daily panic attacks about money, finally I just couldn't take it anymore. And I said, you know, I'm just not going to worry about money anymore. I'm just stopping.
Really.
I'm like, whatever. I'm just letting it go, because the people I know who are successful said, if you live your life purpose, the right amount of money always shows up. And that has since proven to be true, and it's been proven true for every single client I've ever had. Every friend of mine who I have said, go for your purpose, the money will show up. They're all making bank now. They're minimum doing like 40 grand a month, like with their eyes shut, just because they're doing the thing they're supposed to do, right? So it's not that difficult when you're aligned. However, back to your earlier point about the difficulty, people are concerned about what their family will say. A lot of people are married to unsupportive people, and I don't know why they're married to them. I would just ditch the person personally. Like, I can't even imagine being married to someone who didn't support me. That's completely insane. But, like, people do lots of insane stuff. Oh, my husband won't let me, or my wife doesn't support me. I'm like, well, leave. Well, it's not that easy, Beth. I'm like, yes, it is. Make a plan and get out of there. You know, it's that easy. But I am unwilling to put up with BS or untruth in my life. And the times that I have, my blind spot, has cost me health-wise, financially, friendships, clients. It's really cost me to not listen. So that's what I would say to people. One, figure out why the heck you're here. Two, you got to make a decision that you want to live your purpose no matter what. Number three, you're going to have to face the fear and conditioning and recognize it's not true. It's just made up to control you. And then four, and this is the most important point, the most important point, what has enabled me is support from others. You don't need a lot of willpower when you have an environment that supports you. We put way too much emphasis on the individual in the United States of America. Now, I recognize people from all over the world are going to listen to this, but here in the United States of America, we're just so proud of our individual effort. Now, a classic example is the person born in the ghetto, and they've managed to escape somehow. They're in like 5%, by the way. And then you have some wealthy upper-class person who went to Harvard on a scholarship, and that Harvard person on a scholarship is saying something along the lines of, hey, this is a free country, and everybody has equal opportunity, and it's just available to everyone. And it's like, oh, my God, really? Do I have to explain this to you? No, it's not, buddy. It actually isn't. You were born into an environment that fostered your highest good. This individual here was born to a drug-addicted mother, and their dad's still in prison for a crime he didn't commit, and there's nobody to support this kid. So who's he going to hang out with? All the other kids, and they're going to join a gang because they're looking for belonging, and then they're just going to get up to no good because there's no accountability, there's no supervision, and there's no support. So what I have learned is if I want to have astounding results, I get the very best support. And my goal in my business is to give our clients the very best support. You know what our clients say to us? Beth, I have never had this kind of access. I have never had this much support from a coach. They all want to delegate it. They all want to give it away. My clients have my cell phone number. They never abuse it. But if they're in an emergency, like they're going through a divorce or they're having a health crisis, they know I will respond to them. And they also know that if I'm not answering, it's because my phone is off and they're going to have to go ask somebody else. But I'm available. So being available to others and then having available people around me, and I cannot stress this enough, Julia, if people would just get support, that's environmental design, is you have support all around you. If you're a drug addict and you go to rehab and you come out of rehab and you don't go to a brand new environment, you're going to be a drug addict again in less than 30 days. It's just proven. There's no hope for you, pretty much. You're doomed to just keep falling off the wagon. Or, you know, people go back to their families, and it's like, don't go back to them. That's where you got the illness. Like, don't go back there. So we have to understand that if we really want to thrive in this world and have, like you said, this courage to take the risk, we have to have people around us who are risk takers, who are also very loving, very supportive, very generous with their energy and their time. And very often we're going to have to pay for that privilege, right? Because people aren't just, you know, sitting on the street corner offering this kind of support. You're going to have to invest time, energy, and money to get that support in many instances. And one last point on this. I have a rule of no negativity in my life and no negative people, which is not the same as someone calling me out or, you know, criticizing me effectively or giving me good feedback. I welcome that because, as I like to say, the prosperity is in the feedback. It's in the feedback, right, that you grow. That's where all the juice is when people are like, hey, I think you're a little off track there. You might want to, you know, readjust to the right several inches because otherwise you're going to crash right into that other boat. You know, it's life is like sailing. You know, all these wonderful metaphors. You're trying to sail from Boston to Spain. You need to know where you're going, and you either have an automated wheel or somebody's, you know, someone's guiding the boat, and that's what good support is. So get rid of the negativity in your life is my strongest admonition to people. So when people are saying to me, oh, my husband's negative, I'm like, do something about it because you will never fulfill your purpose. Oh, my mother always criticizes me. Stop calling her. Don't have a relationship with her for a while. Boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. So I'm ruthless about this because I don't have time for it. I don't have time for people who want to be distracted. Right? Wasn't there a great book? It was called The War of Art. Not The Art of War, but The War of Art. And it had all these little short paragraphs. Some of them were just a few sentences. But basically, The War of Art said right at the get-go is if you want to make art, one of the first things you're going to have to do is stop the drama. Because all the drama, the family drama, the relationship drama, the money drama, the health drama, all of it is an addictive process to distract you from the very fear that you're talking about, Julia. The fear of standing out, of being your true self without anywhere to hide. It's the most vulnerable thing we do is to be visible in our true self, right? But if we have support, like you're very visible, I'm visible, and we've surrounded ourselves with such wonderful artists and entrepreneurs who understand what's involved. I mean, it's not an easy thing, and yet I think anyone can do it if they have the right support.
So remember earlier when you were saying you were going to tell us how to reach millions? So for those of us change makers who have already taken your advice and got support and are willing to go out there with our true purpose and be gutsy about it, how do we attract those millions? We got to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, well, I think part of it's your business model. I mean, a lot of people don't have very good business models. So one of the things I've become really obsessed with is studying the business models of people who have reached millions. And you know what? There's lots of models to do it, but you need to pick a business model that will enable you to do it. And in order to have that, again, you need support. You need a team, right? People need at least 4 or 5 people on the regular team. And when I say 4 or 5 people, like they need at least an assistant, an accountant, a customer service person, and a salesperson, just to get off the ground. So you need help. You need help, and you need a back end in your business so that you can build a business you can sell one day. And see, most people aren't thinking about this. Most people in our industry, what I call the self-discovery or transformation industry. And I'm not the only one who calls it that, but I think it's less about transformation and more about self-discovery, transformation if you're lucky, and you're not lucky, you're making good choices, is they don't design businesses they can sell. They're totally dependent on the business owner. They're just, I just want to help people. They don't build assets. You know, they're not putting their money into rental property and, you know, stocks and the things that actually would enable you to make money so you don't have to work all the time, which I'm a big fan of. And So that's the biggest piece I see for people that who are entrepreneurs who want to change the world, is that first of all, they need a business model that will let them build a business they could one day sell, and they need the correct business model to reach the masses. So I would recommend to people, look at the people you admire. So one of the examples of someone I deeply admire is Carolyn Mace. Carolyn Mace and her book, Anatomy of the Spirit, it was one of the initiatory books of my healing journey. And it was right around the time I discovered hand analysis that I was introduced to Carolyn Mace from one of my spiritual teachers. And this was in my late 20s. And I had spiritual teachers starting early. I mean, I started going to sweat lodges, you know, my early 20s. And I started therapy when I was in college. Like, on my own, I was like, I got to get a therapist. I am messed up in my head. So I knew pretty early on I was going to need a lot of help to grow as an individual. So I found Carolyn's book, and she's since gone on to build quite an incredible online school. And she got quite ill and dragged down trying to do her medical intuitive readings. So she now trains people to be medical intuitives, which is wonderful because that is the way you reach millions of people, right? As you train people in your skill, instead of hoarding it, you train people, and then they can go back to their communities and provide this really wonderful service. So, for example, she has a beautiful business model. She does not do it alone. Her brother is her best friend, and he's very good at administration and organization and building out the school. So this is never done alone. You know, Wayne Dyer had two key people, and one of the people just typed up all his manuscripts, which he wrote by hand. And then he had like a Girl Friday, and she did everything else, all the scheduling and the, you know, the workshops and the TV bookings. And he had two people, and he pretty much ran the show. But he had a system, and he had a mission to get out there. So that's what I would recommend to people in our industry, is look at those you admire. One of my friends is JJ Virgin. I think you know her. And she's a fitness guru. And when I met her, she was in a horrible spot. She was like nearly bankrupt. She'd gone through a horrible divorce. And then her son had this near fatal run-in with a car. He was walking down the street and got hit and was almost died from the brain damage. She's since made a full recovery in large part to JJ's vigilance. And because of that, she knew she had to get her business going the right way. And I think she'd seen somebody on PBS, like Wayne Dyer, one of them, and she thought, oh, I need to get on PBS. So she figured out how to do it. She got on PBS. She did like her 20-minute special on PBS during the fundraiser. She got exposed to the entire United States of America, lead to product line of supplements and protein powders in health food stores all over the United States. She then was able to hire a team, and now she has a mastermind that she runs, you know, that all these healers go to. So it didn't all happen all at once. But she made a decision. So that's the first step. You've got to make a decision you want to be visible. Most people will never make that decision because they have a wound around being visible, right? Oh, I was bullied in school, or I think I'm too fat, or I'm dumb, or whatever. I suck at public speaking. So first you have to decide to be visible. Then once you've made that decision, like, okay, come hell or high water, I'm going to put my neck out. Study a model of someone that resonates with you. Really study the model. And then get support, and step by step, you got to build it out. You got to build out that model, whether it's write the book and get on PBS, or you build an online school like Carolyn Mace, because she could sell that business. She could die tomorrow. I hope she doesn't. But she could die tomorrow, and all her content's in that school, and someone could buy that school for however many millions it's worth and take it over. And so that's how you reach millions in a sustainable way, is you've got to have a strategy. And it needs to have a back end so that you can then one day sell the business should you choose to. Because people say, oh, I'm going to work forever. It's like, well, that might be the case, but you might not want to. So you might want to do other things when you're 75. So, yeah, so that's what I would say to people. Like, you can't – this isn't just going to happen, like, out of thin air. You got to use your brain and get hip to how this actually works. And it's, you know, it's just education and then hiring the right people to help build it out.
That sounds great. So I wanted to get into our fundraiser, because part of the whole Changing the World Summit is about having a real impact on a cause that is going to have a positive result that we can measure. So we've chosen for this summit to do our fundraiser through Project O, which is about the ocean, about protecting the ocean and its inhabitants. And our focus is a group called Plastic Bank, where we're helping them to remove plastic from impoverished areas of the world before it reaches the ocean, and provide people in those areas with an opportunity to triple their income by assisting in the removal of the plastic. So what we're doing is we're having everyone, including you, provide a program in the Changing the World Toolkit. And yours is called the Gift Markings Program. And so I'd love to share about that, and then if you would say a few words about it.
Oh, sure.
The Gift Markings Program that Beth is providing is a value of $97. It's a home study course that'll shift your consciousness in profound and uplifting ways. You're going to discover a step-by-step money map for each of your gift markings in your hands. Your life purpose is the goal, and your gift markings are the how. Discover how to achieve your purpose and meaning with meaning and money by using your gifts. With the Gift Markings Program, you'll discover where you effectively use your gifts in the past, and there are three special charts to explore this concept included in the program. How to move forward using these gifts now and into the future, what goals to set for these gifts, how to achieve these goals, and how to make money and profit from your gifts. Can you tell us a little bit about what gift markings are and about this program?
Yes. In the human hands, there's a potential for up to 18 gift markings. The most I've ever seen in a pair of hands is 15. These gift markings are not necessarily permanent markings. They can come and go. They're sometimes called gift markers, gift markings. And each of the gift markings, you might have two, you might have 10 in your hands, confers upon you a special gift, special ability. Some people have a gift for making money. Some people have a gift for writing and speaking. Some people have a psychic gift or an intuitive gift or problem-solving gift or a leadership gift, etc. Lots of cool gifts. The Gift Markings program shows you how to identify the gifts, where they are in your hands. They're pretty easy to spot. And it's a really fun place for people to begin their hand analysis journey because these markings are so easy to identify. You take the program, you see which gift markings you have, and in the program, it goes through in detail with video, audio, and written materials what the gift marking means, how it can impact your life and support you, and then what happens if you don't use the gift. If you don't use a gift marking that you possess, you will endure the penalty. And the penalty is a consequence for not using the gift. Now, sometimes people say to me, I don't like that word penalty, and I'm like, too bad. Penalties suck. Penalties are exactly what it sounds like. They are a bummer. And I like the truth because the truth sets you free. Just whitewashing things doesn't help anybody. No, it will suck if you have the penalty. The penalties can overtake your life. They can completely, most people are living in penalty that I meet. They are completely in the penalty of their gifts. And the crowd I attract is highly gifted. The highly gifted person is usually not acknowledged. They're not seen. They're, if anything, they're either ignored as children, they're discounted and dismissed, or they're labeled a weirdo, which doesn't help with the self-esteem much. And so then what happens is the person says, oh, screw this. I'm not going to use these gifts. All I do is get mocked. I'm just going to bury them. And then your life really becomes unpleasant because the gifts are dying to be used. They're literally dying. Right? You don't use it or lose it. And that's what happens with gift marking. So this program is incredibly empowering. Back to my initial point about what will change the world is being aware of yourself, being the change by having self self-awareness. And with self-awareness, Julia, comes self-love. So usually all it takes is a person to see one gift marking and they study up on it in this really fun course. It's super fun. It's based on a live event I did, and I had it high def recorded. You know, I spent $25,000 to have that event, professionally recorded. And because I knew I was going to bring these gift markings to the world, this program. And this program has gone out to thousands of people at this point. And when we first sold it, we sold it for $1,000. And then then it was a different price, and so some of the people were peeved. And I said, listen, you can have a credit for $900 towards anything you want. And they were like, okay, great. So I gave them a credit towards anything in our business that they wanted. So that worked out. But anyway, I digress. So you figure out your gifts. And then the program supports you in setting goals, SMART goals. There's a SMART goal form, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound SMART goal. There's a SMART goal sheet for each gift. And it's been pretty remarkable, this program, because every week we get letters from people thanking us for this program and the difference it's made in their life to simply feel seen and to have their specialness acknowledged instead of being labeled a woo-woo freak. So that's the benefit of it, and it's just a wonderful, easy place to start in terms of knowing yourself, knowing what kind of tree you're meant to grow into. This is a great place to start.
Yeah, that's so great. I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Do you have any final words for our change maker listeners?
Well, I really want to encourage everyone to donate. One of the things that has made such a difference in my life is being a supporter of good causes. And I just get nauseous every time I watch the news and I see that island of plastic floating out in the ocean. It's killing birds and fish, and it gets caught up in the fishermen's nets. It's just a whole big mess, all this plastic. So any if we can prevent more plastic going out there, fantastic. Contributing is an activation of real prosperity consciousness. Like, I can give because there's an infinite amount to give. And I find consistently the people that won't spend $197 or whatever the requested donation is for a very worthy and necessary cause are the same people who will go spend that money on a bunch of crap they don't need, like a new television, or you can't even get a good new television for under $97. They go spend it on some non-essential item. And so what I have found is all of you listening, you all have all the money you want for the stuff that you want. Everybody has. So when someone says, I can't afford it, I'm like, oh, BS. People can afford whatever they want to afford, however they afford it. But when you give back, and you really make a contribution. In this case, Julia, you've set up a situation where not only are people contributing to a cause, but then they're getting all these incredible gifts back. Like, this gift markings course was a $1,000 course. I think it's worth $10,000 if the person actually uses their gifts, because it's going to change their life. So you've put together something really innovative here, and I would just encourage anyone listening, be generous. I pretty much can't say no most of the time. When people ask me to donate to their charity, I'm like, oh, whatever, $100 here, $50 here. It makes a difference. And then there's those two charities that I am involved with. I finally kind of had to, knuckle down and go, okay, I'm just going to focus on these two for my major fundraising efforts. But, our company raised $38,000 and built a school in Africa, right? We're gonna do that fundraising again this fall. So I'm just a huge believer in one must give back. And it just feels good. It just feels good to know I made a contribution. So if you're listening to this, I don't want to hear you can't afford it. Every single person, if you live in a Western culture, you can come up with $197 and donate. Now, it may not speak to you, right? It may not be your thing, but if you feel called, please support this cause, because all of us together chipping in, most of the world's problems will be solved very, very quickly. So that's what I have to say about that. I mean,
Thank you.
Well, and the thing is, for me, giving has been so powerful. It's been such a game changer. So, yeah. So that's what I would say. And then my final words of advice are to know yourself. Because if you're not getting the results you want, it's because you think you know who you are. And I can promise you, you don't. You do not know who you are if your life isn't working. I can promise you. My life is fantastic. Like I can't even believe my life sometimes. It's just like every day is just kind of magical. And people say to me, Beth, how did you do this? I'm like, do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? You're not going to like it. You're not going to like what you're going to have to do. Like, you're going to have to get rid of most of your friends, and you're going to need to stop eating all that garbage you eat. Like, you're going to have to do some things differently. I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to just eat all your favorite foods and take a pill. It's all BS. You're going to actually have to change. And so I'm not going to shine people on. Like, oh, it's going to be easy. No, it's not. You may have to get divorced. You may have to move. It may really suck for a time to have the life that you want. But the most powerful thing is to know yourself. And it's so freeing. It's just so freeing. So that's what I have to say about that.
Thanks so much for being a part of this Changing the World Summit. And yes, we don't really need to change the world. We need to change ourselves.
Yes, we do. It's called
the
Change Yourself Summit.
And thanks for your contribution to the toolkit of the gift markings program. I think people are going to be really excited about learning what their gift markings are and moving forward in the direction that where Providence supports you. That's really what we're all looking for. So thanks for sharing those examples of that today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Changing the World Summit, where inspiring leaders from around the world share their secrets on having more impact in these times of change. To participate in our project to remove over 1 million plastic bottles from the environment, please visit www.changingtheworldsummit.com now and make your contribution.